Thank you. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. As we prepare for our church anniversary, I'd like to just spend a few weeks encouraging the church to function effectively as a Bible-believing church family. Here in Acts chapter 2, we have an example of the infant church as it began to formally organize into an active force for the glory of God. And as we prepare our hearts to reflect upon another year of God's grace and mercy upon us as a church family, I'd like to encourage internal growth and stability and strengthening through a series of messages that I trust will help us to be all that God would have us to be as a church family. Here in Acts chapter 2, the Bible reads from verses 41 to 47, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, I do ask and pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us and lead us into truth this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. How is a church to function effectively as a body? The Bible teaches us in verse 44, "And all that believed were together." The glue that keeps the church body together is an unconditional love one for another. In Romans chapter 5, verse number 5, the Bible teaches us the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit indwells the individual that has placed their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. The Bible teaches us that the Spirit of God has sealed us unto the day of redemption. And with the presence of the Holy Spirit within the life of the Christian, that child of God has the capacity, the power, to love as Christ loves. And the glue that keeps the New Testament church together is this unconditional love one for another. The Lord Jesus commanded his disciples, "I command you that ye should love one another." The Lord Jesus went on to say that your love one for another gives evidence to the world that you are my followers. You are my disciples. I'd like for us to note a number of principles this morning that will enable us to love one another unconditionally as Christ loves, as God the Father loves. God's love is unconditional, for God so loved the world. But God commendeth his love towards us And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Christ shed his blood upon an old rugged cross in order to provide payment for sin, so that you and I can repent and by faith receive the Lord Jesus as our personal Saviour. The presence of the Spirit of God enables us to love others as Christ loved, as God the Father loves. It's been well said, the loneliest place in the world is the human heart where love is absent. And as a New Testament church, may God strengthen the family as we reflect upon God's goodness, as we celebrate another anniversary during the course of this month. May God help us to love one another unconditionally. I'd like for us to briefly note some principles this morning that will enable us to love one another effectively. Principle number one, we must acknowledge the fact that we need one another. We must acknowledge the fact that we need one another. Go to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12. The church is likened to a body. Each member functions to serve the remainder of the body. The body doesn't serve the members. The members of that body do their parts so that the body functions effectively. And if we are to effectively love one another as a New Testament church, as Bible-believing Christians, we must acknowledge with humility that we do need one another. Verses 4 and 5 reads of Romans 12, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." Note verse 5. "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." So that little phrase there, everyone members one of another, what that means is that we need one another. Just like each portion of the body, each member, each part of the body, in and of itself, has its limitations, it is a part of a whole, and therefore the church is likened to a body to convey the fact that just like each body part is in need of the other body parts, and all of these body parts put together make one body, and thereby that body functions effectively, we as Bible-believing Christians, we are not to live as an island, but we need one another. From verses 6 down to verse number 9, there is a mention of the different serving gifts, and each blood-bought child of God that has been saved, that has the presence of the Holy Spirit, has at least one of these spiritual gifts. And it's your responsibility to use your gift to aid the well-being of the New Testament church. We cannot function effectively by ourselves. No man is an island. That's why Adam was incomplete. And God said, "I will need to create a woman for you to complete you." Companionship is of God. In the Bible teaches us in Ecclesiastes, two are better than one. Loners don't function effectively. They don't. That's not how God's made us. God has made us to have fellowship, to have companionship. And more so, as Bible-believing Christians, God has ordained the church, the body, which is the church. And within that church body, there are varying parts, and each part of the body has the responsibility to aid the well-being of the remainder of that body. We shouldn't see ourselves as being superior to others within the church family. We all have a part to play. And we need to work together as the New Testament church, serving and loving one another, because if we are to love one another effectively, we must first and foremost understand, brethren, that we need one another. My friend, this morning, you need the New Testament church. If you are to function effectively as a Bible-believing Christian, you need the New Testament church. And may I say, the New Testament church needs you as well. The Apostle Paul was certainly not a lone ranger. He had men like Timothy along his side, Titus, John Mark, Aquila, Priscilla, the list goes on, of different ones that helped the Apostle Paul in his ministry. We need one another. If we are to love effectively one another, then we must understand first and foremost that we do need one another. You need the church. The church needs you. The church needs you to be faithful and committed, because there are people that you can minister to, and there are people that will minister to you and help you towards greater Christ-likeness. In Romans chapter 12, again, note there in verse 9, leading into the first part of verse 10, it reads, "Let love be without dissimulation." That word dissimulation means hypocrisy. "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good." And note the first part of verse 10. "Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love." The second principle that I'd like for us to note this morning that will enable you and I to love one another effectively. Principle number one, we must acknowledge the fact that we do need one another. Secondly, I'd like for us to note that we must show affection one towards another. We must show affection one towards another. There in verse 10 it reads, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love." We must show affection one towards another. The world has no true affection. In fact, in Romans chapter 1, verse 26, it makes reference to vile affections. In Romans chapter 1, verse 31, the Bible teaches us, "In the last days, man without God is without natural affection." King Herod, in killing those babies up until the age of 2 years, was showing his vile affection. And the classic example of demonstrating affection is found in the example of the Good Samaritan, how he reached out to one in need. And brethren, if the love of God is to prevail within the church family, then you and I need to show affection one towards another. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, the Bible teaches us that for those of us that are Christians, we are part of the family of God. And I'm so thankful for that. Everybody that has received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior is part of the family of God. And as a family member, ought we not to show affection towards other family members? It ought to be evident in our physical homes. And I trust, parents, you're breeding that spirit within your home, where the siblings are showing affection one towards another. That ought to prevail within the New Testament church. The Bible teaches us that we are to have the same mind one towards another, preferring others before ourselves. Brethren, if we are to love unconditionally, then you and I, as Bible-believing Christians, need to be prepared to show affection one towards another. Often our feelings for one another vary dramatically. That ought not to be. That ought not to be. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, and if you and I are Spirit-filled, then we can love one another with the same measure of love. I understand there's different roles, I understand there's different placements. But all that considered, you and I should be able to, under the power of the Holy Spirit, show genuine affection one towards another. How do we show affection? Well, let me give you a couple of ways that you and I can show affection. Lesson number one, smile. Let's do it. Good. See? It's an amazing thing. Smiling is a universal language. While I was in Japan, I spoke one word, konnichiwa, which is hello. That was it. But I determined I was going to smile. And it's amazing. You smile, and they smile back. That's showing affection. There's something in that. By greeting one another, we can show affection. By a word of greeting. By a touch, appropriate touch. The prodigal father, as he saw his son in the horizons, the Bible teaches us that he looked and he saw him and he ran towards him, and the Bible teaches us that he kissed him. He showed affection. He could have chosen not to. He could have chosen to stand back and say, oh, there's that reprobate, he's finally come home. He can come and greet me. No, the Bible teaches us he saw his son in the horizon and he ran out to greet him. The Bible teaches us that he kissed him. Initiated affection. We can show affection in our conversation. We can show our affection by ministering one towards another. Just like the centurion approached the Lord Jesus there in Luke chapter 7 and said, please, will you come and help? My servant is very ill. We can show affection by giving of what we have, like Jonathan did with David. Brethren, if we are to love one another unconditionally, then we are to show affection. We must show affection one towards another. And last but not least this morning, if we are to function effectively as a New Testament church and love one another unconditionally, we must, number one, acknowledge the fact that we do need one another. Secondly, we need to show affection one towards another. And thirdly, this morning, we need to have a preference for one another. We need to honour, prefer one another. Note there at the end of verse 10 it reads, Romans chapter 12 verse 10, in honour preferring one another, placing others first, seeking the welfare of others, to put them before you. See, selfishness cripples the effective functioning of the New Testament church. But if we are to love one another unconditionally as a New Testament church, you and I need to purpose to meet the needs of others. Look not every man on his own thing, but on the things of others. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 3. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, it reads, be subject one towards another. Children are to respect and honour their parents. That's how we prefer one another, children, by obeying and honouring your parents. In 1 Timothy 5, 3, the Bible teaches us that we are to give honour to widows. They are to be respected. They are to be ministered to. And in 1 Peter 3, 7, the Bible teaches us that the husband is to honour, respect his wife. The
Lord Jesus showed preference to his disciples as he washed their feet. He washed the feet of each of the disciples. He demonstrated this very principle, preferring others before one's own self. This involves humility, my friend. This involves Christ-likeness. This involves the power of the Holy Spirit to prefer others before ourselves. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. The problem with a sinful nature is that it cries out, me, me, me. Or I. But biblically, it ought to be Christ first, then others second, yourself last. People get themselves into trouble when they're consumed about themselves. Lot learned that lesson the hard way. As Abraham said to Lot, go ahead and choose which portion of the land you'd like to move to. Lot just thought about himself. The Bible teaches us his heart was vexed. And brethren, it would be a good thing for you and I that know Jesus Christ as Savior to spend more time thinking about Christ and others. That's how the church is going to function effectively. That's how we can love one another effectively. By realizing the need that we have for one another. And then by showing genuine affection one towards another. And thirdly, by with reverence and respect preferring one another. I'll continue this thought this evening. But for the time being, brethren, it's in God's providence that God has brought us together as a New Testament church. And thereby God has placed us together to function as one body. I'd like for you to consider during the course of this month as we lead up to our anniversary service, I'd like for you to humbly consider what contribution do you make to this church family? And maybe God would challenge you and I to just make more of a contribution. The body is in need of continual maintenance and servicing. And I'd like for you to take that challenge and just consider, what can I offer? What can I do? How can I show affection appropriately? How can I prefer others and serve others? And my friend, if we would just prefer one another, and if we would be willing to put our affection one towards another, out of a heart of Christian love, the church will function effectively. And we will move forward as an army and do greater things for the glory of God. You have something to offer. You have a spiritual gift. You have talents, you have abilities, you have resources. Yes, you! God wants to use you to better somebody else. And then others will better you. See? You focus on others and God will take care of you. God will take care of you. May God help us to love one another unconditionally. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed.